Hey, everybody. I'm not on this episode, and it shows. No, not really. All kidding aside, my colleagues are going to be talking about and ranking an adults-only game, which means this is an especially bad episode to listen to a children present. I would say worse than usual, easily. Also, if you're the kind of person who listens to podcasts out loud at work, what's wrong with you? Who does that? That is such a weird thing to do. Don't do that. Anyway, you've been warned. On with the show.
For some, this is painfully obvious, but hardcore gaming means it ain't for the novices. The main source to brain train your knowledge and lay maintain with a course aimed at colleges. To HG101, we give the honor, thanks to Kirk Alada, Xerxes, the host of Proper, as well as to Tanga, Cal and Bobinator, Booker Hart and others. Discuss and discover all the 47,000 games, and when they rate them, you can bet it's scientifically locked in position. Speaking of which, no system is obscure, and look, they wrote a book about it, go out and cop yours.
Hello and welcome to HardcoreGaming101.net's Top 47,858 Games of All Time podcast, where we objectively, definitively, and scientifically rank the games that you nominate. My name is Xerxes, and I'm the show's main host and producer, and on this podcast we have three rules. Rule 1, all rankings are final, official, and scientifically accurate. Rule 2, you can nominate one game at a time via 5-star review on iTunes or Stitcher. Those are the ones we try to get to first. You can also go to bit.ly/rankthisplease and add a game to the slush pile and cross your fingers. We make no guarantees on those. Rule number 3, you can nominate games that have already been nominated, just don't nominate games you've already ranked. See the master list for yourself. It's at bit.ly/47kgames. That's bit.ly/47kgames.
Taking a bath in the middle of the battlefield. That cool.
You've all done it. You've blown it up. This is unbelievable. You're listening to the top 47K games of all time from Hardcore Gaming 101. It's our podcast. And some bastard named Paulie Gatto, I don't know who they are, on Stitcher. Maybe I do know them. Maybe they're a person full of nothing but hate for everything that's nice and decent in the world, has nominated Lula 3D with Stitcher.
I'm going to just say right now that I think the plot twist here is that's actually Xerxes, and he's just, you know, in the Bahamas or something right now laughing at all.
He's like,
just trying to self-sabotage the whole endeavor here, so.
Like, really, you're just doing this just so you wanted to try, right? You just want to see us.
Would they
just
do it?
You could do this.
We're deadly serious. If it goes on Stitcher, we rank it. And Lula 3D has gone on Stitcher. So here we are, ranking CDV Software Entertainment AG. What a terrible goddamn company name. They also published the damn thing on PC. Yeah. Nobody else wanted to touch this game, I guess.
I'm here by choice. I'm Cassidy from the Bad Game Hall of Fame, and I played through this entire thing in preparation for this. Did any of you?
I played about, like, an hour, and that was more than enough.
I didn't play it at all, because I'm not a sucker.
That's not something to brag about, just saying.
And you, Cal, did you play through this?
I did not finish it, which I think is a fair thing to say. There's nothing that you're going to finish in Lula 3D.
So, Cassidy, I think you're pretty much like the world's leading Lula 3D expert. I'm just saying that.
What a shameful title. What a dubious distinction.
You can put that on your bad games. Underneath that, you can write that as your main tagline. Premier
Lula 3D Lula. Leaderboard leader. Let's talk about the game.
Just one second, because we do have to write, because you've got down the exact date here. It was released June 22nd, 2005 in Germany. And then it was Escape Germany, unbelievably, in English. And now here we are. Take it away.
Released only digitally and outside of Germany, we must mention, because North American stores would not stock this game on their shelves. And it is a hard adults-only rating. For those who don't know, we're talking about a porn game here. This is straight up a smut game. It's a point-and-click game, like, technically.
Although you don't actually... you do point-and-click. Yeah, it's like that Broken Sword 3 controls. You just walk around.
Yeah. Yeah, there is walking.
It's kind of like if, what'd you call it, the Lua engine was behind the head and, you know, not good.
Yeah,
so
what's
we should mention, Oh, sorry, you go right ahead.
No, you're supposed to mention it. You're saying something here. Where are you going with this?
I was going to say this game. So the thing about this game is that it was in development since 2001, released some screenshots in 2002 that showed some renders off, showed some screenshots of a very like haggard-looking prototype Lula, but the backgrounds and all the environments never changed after that point. So for the most part, we're dealing with a game that was mostly built in 2002, then spent sort of 3 years in limbo, and before we got to the point where we're at now. So you'll see like some pretty egregious, like, you know, like shine effects and really bad use of like reflective surfaces and stuff to indicate the fact that we're in 2005 now. And Lula's not looking too much better.
Okay. Lula's like the best looking model in the game, and even she didn't look that great, but everybody else, to use one of Cal's terms, is Nintendo 64 potato people. So, yeah.
Yeah, the Lula sexy model. The Lula model and texturing definitely had the most effort put into it, and it's like, well, they made her breasts look like breasts, so congratulations.
You could tell
job
what the
achieved
audit priorities were. They were like, if we put all the polygons in her face, she'll kind of look like a human, and her breasts need to be curved, so all the polygons in her breasts, and she's got legs. That's what they did.
I should also mention, because this is a connection to another bad game of some note, there's a game called Psychotoxic, developed by Studio Vulpine Vision. They came in during that three-year period to do additional graphics work, to provide their gameplay engine in order to touch up the graphics some. So I just wanted to mention that, because they would go on to develop one of the most famous, or I should say infamous, flop games of all time to come out of Europe, one of the worst first-person shooters ever. But we should also mention the fact that this is Lula 3D. This is part of a series of a long-running franchise of games that began with business management sims back in the late 90s, spawned some poker games, pinball games, a futuristic sci-fi space point-and-click adventure game with also business management on the side. I think there's one more I'm forgetting, and there's an MMO that came out after this sometime like 2016, but that's getting ahead of ourselves here.
Can you still play the MMO? Is that still on?
No, that's dead. That's gone.
Oh, no. What a shame. Don't nominate that one. We can't.
I gotta ask.
Yes.
Do you happen to have any like sales data on these games? Are these games actually like popular in Germany and Europe in general?
I don't have hard sales numbers, unfortunately, but I can say with some degree of certainty that these games sold. They continue to develop sequels, iterations, and spin-offs. They hired on a popular German artist to do all the conceptual like drawings and stuff, and also to do the animations for the original Lula game. And for, oh, I just remembered the other one I forgot. There's a virtual pet Lula. It's like a Tamagotchi, like a desktop sort of thing where you can feed her and fuck her and all sorts of love
hey,
stuff like that.
Hey, this is a PG show.
We're talking about a porn game, dog.
How many times have I used all kinds of profanity on this show, Cal?
I don't think we're going to get away with this one being a PG. I'm sad to say.
Definitely
my presence alone makes this at least PG-13.
That we need to mention that, yes, the subject nature of this game, if you've got children listening,
yeah,
probably don't
if you're,
let them listen.
If you're a child, you probably shouldn't be listening to the show in the
don't
first place.
No children deliberately listen to this show.
Go back and play Fortnite. Go outside. That's a better idea.
No, don't send them outside.
That's a better porn game.
No. If children are listening to this, I want them to just stand there in a line so Xerxes can come around and just be old at them.
So, Lula 3D, let's get to the game at hand here. Where should we start? Ask me anything about Lula 3D. This is my AMA. Ask me anything
right
about Lula.
Can I just say first that Lula is kind of a terrible character? It's just, I don't know. She's a massive narcissistic. I mean, I think Donald Trump has less of himself around his house than Lula does. I'm going to be honest.
Well, everyone in the world owns paintings of Lula in this universe. She's like the most like popular celebrity in this entire like realm of existence. So,
yeah, in fairness to her, apparently her reputation is well deserved within the universe itself. Also, all those images are just, you know, Easter eggs from previous Lula titles, so I don't think that's too much of a blow against her.
It's also worth mentioning that we should get into her backstory a bit, because she is a central character. She is the Laurent Venu, or however that French phrase goes, for the protagonist, for our female lead. Her dealings in the original Lula game were that she was just a stripper who met a criminal, who met a bank robber, who was on the run, on the lam, effectively, and when this crime lord met Lula, he was instantly inspired. She became his muse and his first model in the world of porn. He established a porn enterprise that continues to this day with Lula now in charge of it. So that's where she came from. That's the origins of Lula, as it were. We pick up in Lula 3D with her as director, producer, or not producer. She has a producer named Brian who looks like Gordon Freeman's model from Half-Life 1. Anyway, so the plot here. You open at Lula's mansion. She's about to shoot a scene with these triplets, and when she gets a call from Brian saying that they're missing, this ignites a whole adventure where you're off to find where these triplets ran off to, and discoveries abound that they didn't run away, they were kidnapped even, and not only were they kidnapped, they're being held by this shadowy sort of cabal who are looking for three hidden idols that their father hid in national monuments around the country, and they presume that the triplets would know where these are, but they don't. And none of this matters. I'm just talking right now, but none of the words I'm saying mean anything, because these are just sort of a flimsy pretense to Lula walking around and watching people have sex in public. That's really the core of the game. That's really where
this is a world where everybody is constantly horny at all times.
You will walk down the street and you will look into windows and see people just fucking raw with no blinds, no shame, no...
You could just stand there and like have her interact with the window and she'll be like, oh, hey, they look like they're having fun.
You'll
and
walk into a diner.
Like thumbs ups or whatever.
So, something I want to note, there's this one couple who are engaged every time you see them. And if you take a really close look, the guy is no... He doesn't have anything to work with.
He ain't packing any.
He's got balls. I'll give him that. This doesn't have the rod attached to it.
Why were you expecting this? Was this just...
I guess that would be gay or something.
It's great because the amount of effort put into all these copulation animations is like minimal, but they're everywhere, and there's so many of them and so many variations on it, and none of them look good. And they're the thing you come to this game for. That's the thing. That's the hook of the game. That is the novelty.
Cass,
of it.
I don't think anybody's coming to this game.
That's very
Bob,
true.
Bob, this is a family show.
Statistically,
this is like one time
someone jacked off to this game. Probably a few people. We gotta be honest here.
I refuse to accept that. I refuse to believe that that is a thing that happened.
They stopped playing. We're just living in it.
Yeah. They'd stop the game up. They'd be like, oh yeah, here we go. And then it's fetch quests for like 4 hours. No way. It's just like, oh good, now I gotta go find the ID, and now I gotta go get the dead rat or something. Like, this is not a sexy game.
That's kind of the thing that blows me away about this more than anything, is that really, if you take off the veneer of, like, all the, you know, raunch and failed attempts at ribald, because, boy howdy, there is no ribald humor in this. All told, it's just an aggressively mediocre adventure game with nothing going for it.
Well, besides the erotic quality of it, you know, the high quality.
Like I said, if you take that out, that's all it is.
So, yeah. I got a fun fact. According to Moby Games, there was a German magazine by the name of PC Power Play, and apparently this game got their most unerotic game 2005 award.
Which is pretty fair. Like, I think the, like, first Halo game is more erotic than this one.
I should mention, there is exactly one gag in this game that I chuckled at, and it is it the New Vegas section? Not New Vegas, Las Vegas. Hi there, I'm brain poisoned by Fallout.
You've just been harmed so much by this, you're just like,
so you go
no,
back,
I need a good game.
So you travel to the apocalypse, no, you go to Las Vegas, and you're dealing with an old lady, and you need to figure out a phone number, and she says that she has an easy mnemonic in her brain for remembering what the phone number is, and she proceeds to list this, like, categorically like, impossible mathematic problem, where she's like, I remember you take the four letters that comprise his name, and you add one, and then two, and then three, and divide by, and so on and so forth, and rambling on. So you go downstairs, expecting to have to solve this bullshit logic puzzle. You go to the phone, it provides you another logic puzzle, which you're supposed to use in conjunction with that puzzle, but you still can't dial the number, so you go back and start to talk to the old lady again, and after all this, she's like, oh, the number's just like 8555-8888. Or whatever, and I chuckled, because it was almost like a chuckle of relief. It was almost like a, oh, thank God, I don't have to look any of this up, or I don't have to do any math problems.
So
More like a nervous laugh.
The most erotic of gameplay elements.
Okay, can I say something real quick?
Uh-huh.
Cass is describing like a constant thing with this game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's not really so many puzzles, just there are very simple tasks that are convoluted in like 10 different ways. Like, Lula can't even find her damn keys out, like, having to talk to everybody in the building.
Well, the funny thing about the key puzzle is she talks to the guy who has her keys, and he's just a dickhead, and is like, Lula, did you lose your keys again? I don't know where they are. You have to basically exhaust finding them, and then you go back to him, because you basically, Lula does a, like a flag where she says, hey, wait, and then she talks to some people, I believe they are lesbians in the shower.
It shakes out that, like, he says, like, I'm not the one who keeps track of your goddamn keys. And so then, like, you just chain down everyone, and they're like, no, he's got the keys. And then she's like, motherfucker, give me my damn keys. I had them in my pocket.
Which is kind of funny, but you had to do the fetch questing, and that's not fun.
That's the problem, is that everything is convoluted and obfuscated by so many layers of talking to, like, a dozen people, literally, like, 12 different people, to trigger a background flag that isn't, like, made aware to you or, like, you know, made present to you, and then knowing to travel back to a location you started from, like, 10 minutes ago at the beginning of this ordeal, and then, magically, the key was in front of you all along.
So, you know what this really reminds me of? What this game in general reminds me of? You know those old Japanese adventure games where you have to, like, go through every area and exhaust every option and just keep doing that just a little bit at a time to progress just a little bit further and a little bit further?
Yeah,
it's like
you
that.
You exhaust every single conversation option, and then you exhaust everyone in every section, and then eventually the main character will just be like, okay, it's time to move on, and the game continues. And there's no option to do that. And this game does some, like, really arbitrary stuff. Like, there'll be a locked door, and basically, once you trip the flag, the door will no longer be locked.
It won't indicate to you anyway.
No,
to go back to it, and just know that it'll be magically open by this point in time.
That's right, because you literally can do nothing else, so it's open. There's no other answer for you, it's open.
I should also mention that the flags can be broken very easily, that there are a number of documented soft locks in this game.
Oh, good.
The nightclub section, which I believe is the third stage of the game, is apparently rife with issues and sequencing bugs. You can get dialogue options before the context that would spur them on, where you can talk to a bartender about burning his hand, like, 5 steps ahead of the point where you would get him to burn his hand by dumping a tea cozy into a sink.
They just kind of gave up at that point. Like, they kind of assume most people would have burnt out, and they're like, don't have to test it.
Here's my theory, and I know we're going to get into, like, a lot more details and talk about some of the technical merits of this game.
Oh, we are.
But my running theory is that that period between 2002 and 2005 literally was just a period where they were working on graphics and retrofitting stuff into this game that was already mostly finished. And so it was just stacking new polygons and graphics and changing around maybe some of the dialogue and the localization process or whatever. They're just building on top of this code base they already have, and flags get fucked up. They record dialogue later down the line to take advantage of, like, new things they added to the game. And it's just this busted base for a game that is, like, held together by duct tape and silicon, and that's it. And there's no better example of how busted this game is than the shooting segments. The Time Crisis-esque, cover-based, first-person shooting segments in the game, which exist.
You're definitely expected in your erotic game where you play as the porn directress.
At a certain point in the game, and I cannot overstate just enough, like, how much of a, like, this comes out of nowhere. Halfway through the game, you start killing cops for no reason other than you meet up with this, like, robber, this lady criminal, and Lula kind of fancies her, and from there on out, it's just, well, we're killing cops now, we're just shooting them dead.
Yeah, they die. Lula has a body count on her.
She kills at least 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people, 4 of them being cops, and then there's a hallucination sequence in the game's climax where I don't know if those are people you're actually killing or is this a drug trip and you're doing it in your mind, but I think there's like 5 more people you kill in that. Lula straight up mercs fools in this game past a certain point, and it is one of the most poorly implemented shooting gallery mini games I've ever seen in a video game, where your aim is constantly, like, shaking with the camera. But not only that, there's also a degree of inaccuracy to your crosshair, so shots don't always go where you land them. So you're given a revolver with 6 shots in it, and of those 6 shots, you aim at a target with your cursor perfectly lined up, maybe one of them will hit. And that's pretty routine across all of these shooting segments. And these are baddies that take no less than 8 shots to kill, mind you. And sometimes you'll shoot multiple ones at once. And past a certain point, I really started to lose my mind during these. Because they were just so unfair. And there's also, like, minor variations. I think you get a submachine gun for, like, 1 minute during one of them in the end. There's a part where you're throwing knives instead of the gun. They're all functionally identical.
Yeah, like, the first combat sequence is, like, against one of the gangsters, and you bring a knife to a gunfight.
But you have an infinite supply of knives that you're tossing at him.
Oh,
even
sure.
You only picked up one.
There's not even an animation for them flying, is there? Isn't it just, like, click, you're fine?
I think there might be, like, an impact, like a particle thing when it hits, like, some of the collision in the background.
I think you're forgetting,
by
the way.
I may be misremembering that.
I've got to mention, because you brought it up, but I don't think we've brought it up. Obviously, Lula is just keeping thousands of knives between her breasts, as
she stores everything. That doesn't even begin to matter compared to the severed ear of one of the girls she's trying
she
to find.
She keeps an entire pizza in her bra, box and all.
Along with three bottles of liquor, 2 porno mags, a framed photo, complete with frame.
A giant black dildo.
Yes, that's implicit. She does talk about carrying her dildo with her everywhere she goes, but you never see her take it out, so I'm unconvinced. I think she's
probably...
It is an inventory item.
You can pull it out, and if you really want to, if you're really into the subtle eroticism of the Lula 3D game, you can use it on the various beds in the game.
Of course! I didn't even think of that.
Just not thinking with adventure game brain.
I must admit, that one eluded me. I should have thought from the context clues where she kept mentioning her dildo in the bed.
I know, she'd go into a room and she's like, wow, what a nice bed, I should use my vibrator. She says that like 3 times in this like segment. It's like the only time the game firmly like ribs you, like, come on, use the vibrator on the bed.
And I didn't even know I had one, because... Well,
actually, I think
scenes.
You can miss it.
You can probably miss it because it's a pickup item in one of the bedrooms in the mansion at the beginning. Yeah.
There's a bloat of items that have no purpose in the game, I should mention.
This game does not discard items when they're no longer useful. For the most part, I think it might toss some that you permanently use, but the red herring items, they're with you for the whole game.
By the way, I want to point this out. I like how, like, every single item in the game you picked up is always at leg level, so you have to watch her, like, bend over and stick her ass out every time you pick
she
up something.
Oh, it's a beautiful animation.
Unless it's at counter level.
Yeah. And then she just takes it up and puts it in between her boobs, so...
Bob, I don't know how familiar you are, but that the squat that she does is quite a standard, like, stripper-style, like, like erotic...
Sure,
like,
pole dancer.
Like, crouch. Yeah, like, she's...
I figured.
That is, like, the most ridiculous thing. I was actually kind of annoyed, just because I thought, shouldn't you have, like, a couple of animations here? Like, can't have you one where she bends over, like, needlessly far? Like, we are talking about a game where it is ostensibly a pornographic game, and it doesn't even bother to do that. Like, it's more interested in you having a long conversation with some French asshole. Oh,
we gotta talk about the conversation in this game, because they all go on literally forever.
They do.
Yeah, they're either, like, 2 sentences and amount to nothing, or they're 15 minutes and amount to nothing.
That is not an exaggeration. There are conversations that go on for 15 minutes and tell you pretty much nothing. There are characters who exist solely as set dressing, and they have some of the longest conversations in the game with you.
And it's like, there's so many elements to this game that, you know, by just, like... the existence of being an adventure game, on the whole, would not be a problem, but it's every single thing about this game is implemented poorly, so none of it works.
And everything is drawn out to a point, not just the conversations, but those animations we mentioned, your default move speed, which, thank God, there's a enable always run button. It's not even like that fast a run speed, but compared to the glacial pace of her walk, it's a necessary option to tick off. I need to talk about the controls for a minute, too, just in terms of how great they are. So you have a strafe button, because this is a third-person behind-the-back game, we should mention. You can switch to a first-person camera.
She sidesteps like it's freaking Tomb Raider or something.
Yes, that is a very accurate comparison, except Lara Croft like actually knows like to move her whole leg, whereas Lula kind of does a shimmy with her feet.
Hey, have you seen the boots she's wearing? They have heels on the end.
Yes. I can imagine with her whole outfit not having the most flexibility. This is fair.
Actually, her outfit has a lot of flexibility. Just
not the knees.
Yep. So, this is...
That's why she has to bend in a weird way.
The strafe, though, for what it's worth, is very necessary, because there are pixel-perfect positions that you have to stand in to interact with some of the scenery in this game. Like, you can, like, see, like, a huge, like, camera mounted to a ceiling, but there's only one spot on the floor, like at a very particular angle, yeah, where you can actually see it and interact with it.
That they've put the like the hitbox for the interactable, which is also why there's the first person mode, so you can kind of really get into the right position. Also, it'll let you see a couple of the like stuff that's up above, because you can't really angle the camera. You can't actually enable free camera, by the way. I don't know if anyone found this out.
I did, yes. There is a button for it. I think it's the R button, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, you can free the camera so you can see Lula from the front in all of her glory. I gotta mention this, because I know you mentioned this earlier, but I thought that in terms of the content of the game, this is one of those very weird, stupid games that you have a character. You have a character in situations that ostensibly are supposed to be, you know, hot. And the game constantly reminds you in this weird way that you are not engaged in this, like encounters and stuff.
Yeah,
like,
it's a running theme. That's a straight-up running theme where Lulu will constantly comment about, oh, I wish I had time for this. You're the primary character in a porn game. You should have time for this. You should be making the time.
Like, no one will have sex with Lula, basically. And she will bemoan that no one will sleep with her, even though she's constantly down. She's also too busy. And it's like, what do we sign up for here? What is this? What is the purpose of this game?
So, she flirts with every male and female in this entire game, and yet she's the only character who doesn't have sex. Everyone else is having more sex than the porn star in the game.
That's a thing that, like, I was noticing and made me laugh really hard, because it just reminded me of a character from the old comic Sexy Losers, where the one person who never actually gets laid is the Bukkake porn star.
Doesn't she actually hook up with some cops or something?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Doesn't she hook up some cops at some point?
Oh, you're right!
Yeah.
No, I'm still technically right, because you don't actually have sex with them. You tie them up. You go into a room with the pretense of having sex with them, and then you and Gina, your criminal girlfriend, just tie them up and run away. So that's I'm still technically right.
That's so crazy. Like, it does lead to one of my... I'll give this game, I'll shout out a moment that, again, I thought was okay. There's a guy that owns the liquor store, and he just really likes liquor, and he's a surprisingly, upbeat, nice guy. He's just an older gentleman. Lula pervs on him, and all of this sort of stuff, as you would expect, but he's just like, love me some liquor. Really like to talk about liquor. If you got any liquor you want to talk about, love to talk about it. And she tries to, get him, she needs something out of him, so she's like, hey, how about you and I go,
okay, so she puts all the moves on him. Basically, she says, if you do me this favor, I'll do you a favor, if you know what I mean. And he's like, oh, beer tasting? Like that sort of stuff. Like, that level of density, or just, not caring. Which makes him the most likable character in the game, personally.
and then she details it down. Like, she doesn't give up. She's like, you know, like, what men...
I mean, I'm gonna women. Suck your
I'm going to abandon subtlety.
And he's just like, oh, yeah, of course. We can do a sherry tasting. I don't really like sherry, but sounds good. Let's go.
And she's suck it down. Yeah.
And okay. I just, like that's the only thing that's, like... There's more than no effort in this game. That's, I guess, the only thing that really boggles my mind. Like, in an apartment, there is a mirror. The mirror is actually a reflective mirror that shows the environment that you are in. They didn't cheap out on it. The mirror works. It's not just frosted glass. And there's stuff here, which is what's weird about it. Like, they clearly wanted to make the game. And it doesn't feel like they were rushing just to the erotic stuff. It's the opposite. The erotic stuff is weirdly kind of wrangled into a real game that's not very funny, but I think they were trying to make it funny. So it's juggling three things, none of which it can do in any way, shape, or form.
So what you're saying is this game had ambitions. It aspired to be a quality adventure game with some cutting edge tech, as well as having the erotic. And on that front, they fucked everything up and hit none of those points. Like, the variety of things to do, the fact that it switches between adventure game and shooting gallery, and also there's, two mini-games where you use the power of, projectiles and a catapult to... Okay, I'm sorry, I'm ranting. I know this thing is all over the place. I know this whole commentary we're doing right here is, crazy.
So and who likes FFA?
The point. So there's a scene where you're at Mount Rushmore for reasons. You're finding one of those dolls I kind of alluded to earlier. It doesn't matter. I'm not going to talk any more about the plot because who cares? You're at Mount Rushmore for reasons, and you need to destroy Jefferson's nose. And the way to do this is to dismantle one of those binoculars that they would have for sightseeing and make a makeshift crossbow and launch your dog into the nose.
Right, the dog. We didn't even talk about the dog.
Yeah, you have a dog that follows you around the entire game. His name is Dusty, and quote Lula, he's quite dumb, but lovable. And so what she doesn't tell you is that you actually have 100 fucking Dusties at your disposal, because when you're using the catapult, the crossbow, to launch him into Thomas Jefferson's nose, he jibs every time he flies with it. He fucking evaporates into viscera.
You have an ammo counter of the dog.
And you have to hit the nose, like, 3 or 4 times, so you blow your dog up like 3 or 4 times, and on the last time, when you destroy the national monument, the dog's right on the ground and he's fine, and he fetches the nativity doll and brings it back to you, and we just go on like this didn't fucking just happen.
Can
and
I
Lula never acknowledges this shit again.
You know what my favorite part of Dusty is, though?
What's that?
Are you gonna say the intro scene?
He's got this one animation where he'll just like randomly just, I guess it's supposed to look like he's shaking off or something, but he just looks like he's just kind of just having a seizure, and it's kind of terrifying.
Like, it looks like the collision is broken, and he's like colliding with some object, and it's freaking out.
It's in Trespasser. You know the dinosaurs in Trespasser when they kind of gave up existing and were just like, blah, 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 blah. It's exactly that, except the dog is doing it intentionally. It's supposed to look like, the dog like shaking or being a little itchy. It's a very, if you've seen dogs and stuff, you've seen them do it, but it just kind of like, it's like, oh no, all right, it's okay, everything's fine. Weird game, not very good. And also, before we rank it, the last thing I'll say is, the franchise is kind of famous for those sim elements that you were mentioned, like, you know, business management, that kind of thing. This game throws that away, and it's like, to the game's like major detriment, because that's the stuff that's kind of easy to make relatively fun. And so it's like, no, get rid of that. We're going to go all in on something we suck at making.
You can easily just work around, like, okay, we want this to be an erotic game, but, you know, like, still have it actually, you know, be a game that people would want to play on its own merits beyond just that. And it's like, okay, like, for the management sims and whatnot, like, that would actually work just fine. And for some reason, they just deviated from that, went into a genre they were entirely blind about, because I guess one of them at some point played Stupid Invaders of all things or whatever.
Well, they are from Germany, I believe, and this genre is hugely popular. So I can appreciate the idea that they should be able to do it. They just, not a great idea.
Here is the problem.
Can nutshell.
It's an adventure game where the emphasis was put on character interactions and narrative, and the narrative fucking sucks. And the voice acting for these conversations that go on interminably long, at least in the English dub, are obscenely terrible, and this probably game's my absolute highlight. If you play this game, which, you know, I wouldn't know why you would do that. Don't follow my example. Don't do what I did. Do as I say, not as I do. Don't play this game. But if you do play this game, play it with English voice acting, and listen to voice actors changing mid-conversation. Listen to Lula's accent change.
Lula can't keep her accent right.
Between Australian, British, German, which I don't know if it's multiple different voice actresses. Watch her botch lines, like saying, what's going on black there, instead of back there, because every line was recorded once with no redos. Listen for when the dialogue still shifts to German because the local edition wasn't complete, so you'll still occasionally hear German dialogue. And that's the highlight for me. If there is, they may have failed in the character development and narrative. They may have failed to write a single compelling character in this game, but by the power of their voice acting, I was listening to every second of dialogue. I repeated conversations, as obscene as that sounds and as long as they are, because I needed to hear certain vocal cues again. I needed to hear how they fucked up again, because I was fascinated by it. It's like watching a train wreck where you just can't look away or turn your ears or put your fingers in your ears because you need to hear every agonizing second of it. It's beautiful.
All right. Yeah, this game's translation is a freaking train wreck.
There's a point in the game where you're using a computer, and Lula says, oh, what's this website? Lula3D.com? But the problem is there was no Lula3D.com, because there was a German domain name, and the subtitle reads Lula3D.de for Deutsch. And the voice actress didn't know what that meant, so she's like, I'm just going to say .com, that's probably what they meant.
Maybe they were intending to launch a Lula Empire in English in, we're going to get the domain, but realize that was a terrible idea.
Just say Lula has this really weird, almost childlike way of talking, and it really skeeves me out?
It's a bimbification trope.
Yeah, it's a fetish thing.
She talks kind of slow, but it's like, if you're going to call her a bimbo, it's kind of weird, because despite how stupid this entire game is, she's probably the most intelligent person in it.
That's he tells about an entire diatribe about the history of tomatoes and cultivation and all their nutritional properties based on a one-off property. You see a can of tomatoes in a fridge. Like, she did. She talked about how she did a high school project. And then she does advanced scientific math later on. So they're trying to portray her as this ditzy blonde, but at the same time, she's also, like, the genius. Like, the secret genius. Which doesn't work for her character at all, because...
I was surprised the game does not treat her like crap. That was probably one of the highlights of the game for me. I thought it was just gonna...
And this is the big agency.
That's a good thing.
This is the big point I want to make more than anything else, because obviously people look at this game and you look at it, it's like, oh, it's a crappy porn game. The main character's gonna be a ditz, and she is. But is this game? And here's the question I want to ask all of you, and this is playing into my point: is do you feel like this game is mean spirited or exploitative of the female characters in it?
It's definitely exploitive because it's almost inherently related to the fact that it's basically a porn game. But I think it's far less mean-spirited than I would ever have anticipated it would be.
Yeah, that was the thing I was going into this specifically keeping an eye on. And the conclusion I came to is that just about every woman is intelligent in the game, even though, like, more than half... Well, no, let me rephrase that. More than half of them are sex workers, and the rest of them look like, you know, they would be, even though they aren't, just because that's the art style they were going with.
Well, that's the...
And just about every single dude in the game is a fucking moron.
Yes. That is the point. You've hit the nail on the head there, which is, for all this game's is faults, and for as skeevy as 99.99% of porn games are, the one weird conceit of this game, and the one other weird positive I will give it, besides the ironic quality of the voice acting and the ambition, is that, strangely, this game is, like, somewhat progressive.
And yeah, like, there's lesbians all over the place, and it's just like, oh, hey, our main character is bisexual, and no one questions this or has a problem with it, and it's just like, hey, it's Tuesday.
And I know discussing gender politics in the scope of this dogshit game is, like, no one wants to hear this, but it has to be
yeah,
said
right.
Because it's,
it did one
it's,
thing right.
It's a weirdly fascinating part of this, is that, yes, there is a respect for the porn actresses and sex workers in this game, and I felt like that's worth some amount of merit. I just wanted to put it out there. There's no problem with porn games as a concept as a whole, except for the fact that so many of them are so skeevy and mean and rapey, and this game never gets into that territory, which was my biggest fear going into playing this game. I had played this game in the past. This is not my first time playing it. I don't think I completed it way back when, and I wasn't playing it for fun back then either. I wasn't playing it for the pornographic qualities of it. I was playing because I played bad games. Big disclaimer here.
Please.
I don't usually go for porn games, but as far as ones that I've played for my research purposes, this is one of the less mean, more optimistic ones, more forward-facing ones I've played.
All right.
For whatever the fuck that's
we really, worth. Really gotta rank
it. Do it now.
Okay, let's just go right to the bottom. Can we do that?
A little higher than the bottom.
I don't think we can call it in the bottom. I think the 400 range is where it would go.
I would at least put it above Shadowgate 64. Things happen in this game.
Let's just jump around.
Let me look at the list, because I never remember where anything is.
Let's get down to
Do you have Limbo of the Lost on there at any point?
No, we have not hit Limbo of the Lost yet. Don't give them any ideas. Please don't mention Limbo of the Lost.
I'm back for that one.
Bob, 464 is Jones in the Fast Lane. 464, Jones in the Fast Lane.
No, fuck that! 469.
All right. Actually, I need to double check, actually. This might not be 460, it might be 465. I don't remember.
It doesn't matter what... is around this. It just needs to
do
be
you want to put it... Actually, 469 would be doable, but it would almost move immediately. I gotta warn you.
That's fine. I just want the novelty of saying 469 is where Lula 3D ranks in the top list of 47,000 plus games.
Okay,
this
well...
moment in time.
I'm okay with that logic.
That's actually also roughly where I would put it. At the moment, that would put it below Caverns of Kafka and above Boogerman.
I think Boogerman and Lula 3D should go hand in hand. I think Boogerman and Lula should have a beautiful relationship together.
Maybe. Also, Amagon is about, like, the shirtless guy running around like a maniac, right? Like,
yeah,
there
you go.
There. It's a good range. We're going to put it there.
The guy who turns into the Hulk after collecting points.
I'm sure Amagon Lula would be more than happy to be standing between these two beefcakes, so...
Oh, man, please do not make me imagine Boogerman and Lula together.
Oh, yeah!
You don't gotta imagine when I write my fanfic, baby. That's what's coming next.
It's locked away. We're done it. It's Caverns of Kafka, Lula 3D, Boogerman. That's right. We're doing it. I don't know. We never would recommend this game, ever. There's a long play if you really want to watch it. I don't know.
No, don't watch that because it's not done. It peters out halfway through the second act, and it takes two and a half hours to do it.
I just gave up, and I would too.
That's all for this episode. Special thanks goes out to our lovely co-hosts and compatriots, our booking agent Jeff Rude, our theme song MC Norm, check him out at Normally Retro on Twitter, and our technical assistant, video editor, and scriptwriter Ed Burns. You can support this podcast by making a small monthly donation at patreon.com/HG101. I know, I did. By subscribing to the HG101 YouTube channel, and by following at GC9X and at HG_101 on Twitter. You can also hang out with us at our Discord channel. It's at bit.ly/HD Discord. But most importantly, help us spread the love of games by getting on iTunes, subscribing to HG101, and giving us a 5-star review. Do it because you like us and you want us to succeed. Until next time, keep keeping it real.